Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time, today being Wednesday, the 22nd of February, 2006, with another exciting broadcast here. And you're listening to the Hour of the Time on Christian Media Network via AM and FM affiliate, satellite link, and internet feeds. Now, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in today. Again, today is the 22nd of February, 2006, Wednesday. And we have another exciting guest on today. He's been on with us before, but first, the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or a HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. And be sure to go there and look at our HOT shop, which is our full online catalog of audio and video broadcasts, because we are listener-supported. And without your donations, either outright or donations for research materials, we can't maintain our operation, pay the bills, pay for airtime, electricity, phone, internet service, etc. So please find that in yourself to help support the Hour of the Time. My personal email, if you'd like to contact me to share research, questions, comments, complaints, is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And the studio number is 928-333-2942. 928-333-2942. Now, I want to make sure everybody notices that on the front page of the website, hourofthetime.com, is our new button. It's been up there about a week. Conference 2006. Please check that out. This is our annual research and hands-on conference with a whole plethora of guests, including today's guest and his trained staff on his topics that we're going to talk about here. Now, I'm very pleased to introduce today again. He's been on the show before. It's Mr. Mel Bartholomew of Squarefoot Gardening fame, engineer, author, humanitarian, and good old gardener. Mel, are you there?
I'm here, and welcome.
All righty. Well,
thank you.
Hey.
Thank you.
No problem, Mel. Hey, Mel, why don't we get your contact information out there first, your website, and if you have an 800 number, whatever means you'd like people to use.
Okay. Well, the easiest thing to remember is our website is, and our contact is squarefootgardening.com. And just spell it out, no spaces, squarefootgardening.com. And on there you'll find our email link, which is info@squarefootgardening.com. It's all that simple. If people are ordering products or going to our catalog page, they'll see that link would be order@squarefootgardening.com. But all you have to remember is the squarefootgardening.com, and you'll find all the email addresses there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mel.
We're going to talk today about something brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Just came out. It's my brand new book called The All New Squarefoot Gardening. And it's a brand new book, and it includes all of the advances and the new improvements I've made to the original system. And this happens to be, Doyle, the 25th anniversary of my first book.
Mm, good.
Now, the first book sold 1 million copies. It was the largest selling garden book in America ever. And I'm very pleased because the system works. But in those 25 years, I've developed 10 major new advances and improvements to the whole system. And they're all included in this brand new book. And what amazes me for the publishers, I've switched publishers, got a new publisher, and they've turned out an all-color book that's even larger than the original in size, and the price has gone up $1. So that's a great advance.
Oh, it is.
The last one that was published by the original publisher was still a black and white, and that was 1895, and the new book is 1995, so we haven't seen much inflation there.
Well, that's certainly good, Mel, and I'm real excited that at our conference this year in August that attendees are going to get the chance to classroom instruction and hands-on outside in the gardening boxes to learn these skills from square-foot gardening.
We're going to teach both. We'll have video and PowerPoint in the classroom, and some of our certified trained instructors will go over all the details in the classroom. But then the best part is you get to go out in the garden, and we'll have gardens built right there, and they'll be able to play in the soil, as we say. They'll actually plant seeds and plant transplants, and they'll learn how to water. They'll learn the whole square foot system. And I think I've mentioned before, Doyle, if you're a beginner and you've never gardened before, you can learn the whole square foot system in about an hour, and you'll become an expert right away because it's very simple and very easy. Now, some of the people come to the conference that are already experts in gardening. It's going to take them a couple of weeks to learn the whole new system because they keep hanging on to the old way of gardening, the old single row, and the old digging up your existing soil and adding fertilizer and the extensive watering system, the irrigation type of system of watering. And all those are eliminated with square foot gardening. We don't even need any heavy tools. In fact, if I told you we don't have to dig up our existing soil, the first thing you think of is, whew, that's a lot of work I can save.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a lot of tools. You don't need shovels and hoes and picks and forks and all those things. And all those tools are, what, expensive?
Yeah.
Heavy?
Mm-hmm.
Break handles? Rust? Deteriorate? You don't need any of them. You don't have to buy any tools for square foot gardening. It's all that simple. So today we'll go through all the 10 major improvements, but probably we ought to start, Doyle, in a general description of what is square foot gardening and how does it work.
Well, certainly. And, Mel, one thing, too, about your classes that are going to be on-site as well is that the School of Natural Healing, which is really the preeminent herbal school, highly suggest using your method for people to grow and harvest their own herbs at home.
That's great.
And they're going to be there at the conference teaching the day before.
Oh, wonderful.
So people are going to learn what they can grow, how, and what it's used for, and the next day, now how do we get it in soil and get it to bloom.
Right.
And that this is all tied in together. So this is going to be really good to get to your trained staff and the PowerPoints, and this is just a drop in the bucket compared. So why don't we get into the general concept, like you say, and then hit into the 10 major improvements.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Well, first of all, square foot gardening is a totally new and different way to garden. Conventional gardening has been in rows. It comes from farming. And we've been taught all our lives to do just what the farmers do, make long rows and have 3 feet between each row, and then when I first started gardening, I kept asking, why do we need 3 feet between the rows? And the experts told me, that's so you can get in and hoe the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't want to hoe weeds. That's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, what good is that 3 foot other than if you're plowing or you have a horse or a donkey to plow or a tractor? That's why you need those 3 feet. But in home gardening, we don't need all that space. So I started experimenting, and I found out that you could plant. I first tried double rows, and the reasoning was this way, Doyle. If the plants have to be thinned to 6 inches apart in the row, in other words, the spacing is going to be 6 inches apart, why does the next row have to be 3 feet away? It doesn't. It could be 6 inches away, and we'd have a double row. Then I went to triple rows, and it all worked. The plants were just fine. And I'd reach into those triple rows. Now, the problem then came is now I had three times as much, and that's another big problem with single-row gardening. No one has ever thought in the history of gardening, at least they've never told it to anyone, that if you plant a whole row of seeds or transplants all at once, when's the harvest going to come? All at once. Now, if you're a farmer, that's great. You harvest and go to market. But if you're a home gardener, what are you going to do with all that? If you have a 30-foot row and you plant cabbages a foot apart, you're going to have 30 cabbages all to harvest all at once. And they'll only last for so long, and then they bolt the seed. Mm-hmm. So you've got a week or two to harvest. And what are you going to do with 30 heads of cabbage?
Mm-hmm.
Or
exactly.
60 heads of lettuce? It doesn't make sense, but that's the way we've been taught all this time. So I thought, let's shorten that row down. And it kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter until I got down to a foot long and 1 foot wide, which happens to be a square foot. And then I said, how many plants can you plant in 1 square foot? Let's experiment. Well, you figure out the size of the mature plant. And like a cabbage, you have to plant a foot apart, so only 1 fits in a square foot. Leaf lettuce, 6 inches apart, that means 4 can fit in that square foot. And beets and beans that are 4 inches apart, you can get 9 in that square foot. And little guys like radishes and onions and carrots, they're thin to 3 inches apart, and now you can fit 16 in a square foot. 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, let's also not plant all of it at once. Let's stagger our planting. That'll mean we'll stagger our harvest. So the next step was, why do we rototill up our garden? Why do we dig it up every year? Well, it's to loosen the soil. And I thought, well, if we're loosening the soil, then why are we walking all over it again, packing it down?
Mm-hmm.
Then we get in with a hoe and loosen it again. And it's a perpetual nothing but work. So I thought, if we don't step on our soil, if we reach into our garden. So I measured everyone's reach, and it turned out to be at least 2 feet. Little old ladies and big husky guys can reach in at least 2 feet, even kids. So if you walk all the way around your garden and reach in, you end up with a 4-foot by 4-foot planting area. And I thought, let's put a wood border there so it says, don't step in here. Remember that old slogan? Was it Texas that said, don't step on me?
Yeah.
So my garden was, don't step inside the box. And then our soil wouldn't have to be continually loosened. It would stay loose and friable inside the box. Then we divided the box up into individual square feet, and we do that with a grid. And at first we started out with string and rope and things, but we found that doesn't work well. So one of the new improvements now is a permanent, rigid grid.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make that out of strips of plastic or even simpler strips of wood. If you go to the lumber stores, they sell something called Lath,
mm-hmm.
L-A-T-H. Comes already 4 feet long, and just an inch wide, and it makes a perfect grid. So you lay those down, drill a hole in the center, and connect them, and you have a permanent grid. Now we have 4 by 4 is 16 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk all the way around it and reach into those 16 square feet and plant every square foot with something different. A couple of cabbages here, there, and everywhere, and some flowers. We mix flowers. You know why we put flowers in with our vegetables?
I can think of 2 reasons, Mel. One would be just because they look nice, they smell nice, and also pest control.
Yep, they're pest control, but also pollination.
Mm-hmm.
It attracts insects to pollinate and all those reasons. But your first one was right. It's because they're pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And if your garden's pretty, you're going to enjoy it more, and you're going to go to it more often. And if you do go to it more often, you'll take better care of it. The next step is if you take better care of it, your plants are going to grow better. And if your plants grow better, you're going to be a successful gardener. So you see how simple it is just to add some flowers into your vegetables. And we do the same thing with herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And those herbs are not only attractive, but they're good in salads. They're good green, fresh. They're good dry. There's so many uses of herbs and the medicinal purposes. I know your other guests are going to talk about some of that.
Mm-hmm.
So right in 1 4-by-4 area, we can have 16 different things. And if you think you can't grow a lot in a very small space, sit down and make a list of all the things you could grow and see if you can come up with 16 of them. And that's just one box. Then we're going to have an aisle between our boxes, and at first, when I started, the first book shows only 1 foot between the boxes to save space. Now, you have to remember the thinking behind that. I was a civil engineer and an efficiency expert in my earlier career, and of course, I thought, well, if we make the space only 1 foot, we'll save a lot of space. But it wasn't enough. You couldn't maneuver, you couldn't walk around. And you couldn't, it wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So now we recommend 3 feet between the boxes. And now you can walk around very easily, and it looks much better, too. So you can have as many boxes as you want. Now, people wonder, well, how many do you need for a family? Because they're used to a big backyard garden. An area typically in a house would be 700 square feet
mm-hmm.
in the garden. That would be a 20 foot wide by 35 feet long. Well, we only need 20% of that space for square foot gardening. We grow 100% of the harvest in only 20% of the space. Think of the advantages of that. Very little to take care of. That also means, Doyle, that 80% was wasted space.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional gardening has 80% wasted space. And what grows there?
Weeds. Well, also, you know, you have the all the other problems aside the weeds. You need the 80% to waste. So this system is really good for those that are apartment dwellers that may just have a balcony or a very small fenced-in little back area. They can, and they don't even have to do 4 by 4 feet. They can go 2 foot by 4 feet.
That's right.
And so if their balcony's not very deep, they can still garden. They can still grow their own stuff and be in a very small area.
That's true. And even if you have a lot of room, some people say, oh, I've got 2 acres of property. I said, well, so why do you want a lot of work and a lot of weeds? Forget about all that. Just because you have property doesn't mean you have to plant it in wasteful spaces and then have to weed and water and fertilize all that land. I say, how about that? And they say, well, yeah, I guess so. But it's hard to convince an old-timer that getting rid of their single-row gardens because they've done it all their life. Remember when I went to the experts and I asked, why do we till up our whole area and then we walk all over? Why do we have our rows spaced 3 feet apart? Why do we sprinkle out a whole packet of seeds along that 35-foot row? And then we have to go back and thin everything that sprouts to 6 inches apart or 9 inches apart, whatever the spacing is supposed to be. And I got the same answer from Maine to California. They all said, that's the way we've always done it. And that's the only reason I could get, because that's the way we've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said right then and there, this goes back 25 years, I'm going to invent a new way to garden. So that's when I experimented and developed the square foot system. It works anywhere and everywhere. And as I went all over the country, I found out it works in every single state at all different altitudes. And it just, it doesn't matter whether you're at sea level, whether you have a clay or sand or coral rock, or you're up in the mountains at high altitudes, the system works. It improves on gardening. And it makes everything in such a small space that you can protect it more. Protect it from the weather, from the animals. You can keep the deer out of your garden now, finally. You can keep the birds out. You can keep the weather out because it's you're only protecting 20% of the space.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it much more, much easier and more economical to do that.
Well, Mel, you know, we're in an area that has a caliche, which is a horrible type of clay that's almost like bedrock, but right at the top, and it's a bigger mess and slick when it gets wet during the monsoon. So to garden, row garden, traditionally, you end up dumping tons of fill dirt, straw, sand, everything, treating the soil, and you've only treated that one area you can grow in, and then all you did was you have to garden right in that one spot. It's not mobile. And you just made it better for the rest of the year for the weeds to grow.
That's right. And they will. Weeds are acclimated to the existing soil no matter how bad it is. And they're acclimated to the weather no matter how too much rain or not enough rain. Weeds are just so persistent, they will grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to improve the system so we get away from any weeds whatsoever. And we did that. And let's see, have we covered the existing system? I want to get into the new improvements if we can.
I think we have thoroughly enough. They understand
okay.
The one-foot grid. They understand the savings in space. And I think the seed savings is another significant one because instead of doing a whole packet of seeds down a row, just to simply pull out all those sprouts so you have your spacing, with your method you take individual seeds.
Right.
And that means that you go a lot farther, and then it's very much worthwhile to go ahead and invest in the little bit pricier but worth it heirloom seeds because you're not dumping a whole packet in a row of dirt.
right. And I mention in the book how to save your seeds, not from your plants, but that packet of seeds. And it goes back to when I first started. I thought, there's so many seeds in a packet. That's great, but why plant them all at once? And, of course, the seed companies would love you to plant all of them at once, because what do you have to do next year? Buy another packet.
Mm-hmm.
So the seed companies weren't very happy when I wrote in the first book how to save your seeds. And you save them in storage where it's very dry and very cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best place is the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year, you can take them out again. And what we do is when we plant seeds, we make the actual spaces. Might be a little hard over the radio to describe this, but let's take a figure on a 1 square foot, 12 inches by 12 inches. The soil is very loose, and we're going to plant one plant. Well, obviously, that goes right in the center, so take your finger, poke right in the center of that imaginary square that you have in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we're going to put 4 plants per square foot. So now in that same square, we're going to take our index finger and draw a line right down the middle both ways. So it's a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have that square foot divided up into 4 individual smaller squares. And in the center of each one of those little squares, you would plant a plant or your seeds. And if you're going to plant seeds, you just take your finger, same index finger, poke a hole in the ground, not too deep, about down to where the nail ends. And then you take the seeds and you pour them out in the palm of your other hand, and you take a pinch of seeds, just a pinch, and put in that hole. Now, a pinch is 2 or 3. And that's for the skeptics that think, well, if I put in 1, it may not sprout.
Mm-hmm.
So you put in 2. All right. Remember, there's hundreds and hundreds of seeds in that packet.
Mm-hmm.
So each hole gets planted with just a pinch of seeds, and you do the same thing whether it's 9 or even 16. And the book shows you how to do the spacing and everything like that. And also our videos and our CDs give a very clear picture of how to get your spacing and how to zip-zap them up and get the exact spacing for putting in your seeds and your transplants. Then you put your seeds back in the refrigerator in a closed container. Some people use a Ziploc bag. Others use a screw-on lid like a peanut butter jar.
Mm-hmm.
And you can separate them into all flowers in one container and all vegetables in another or something like that. Or you can divide them by spring, summer, and fall.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to do it. And remember, with square foot gardening, we're only planting a square foot at a time. And we may come back a month later and plant another square foot of that same variety. So you go back to your refrigerator, get out your seeds, plant another square foot of that same variety, put them back away again. And when I counted all the seeds in, let's say, lettuce, a packet of something like some of the fancy leaf lettuces,
mm-hmm.
there was over 1,000 seeds in that packet.
Certainly.
Now, what are you going to do with 1,000 seeds? Well, they'll last and be good for next year and the year after and the year after that, and some seeds last up to 10 years. Think now, you won't have to buy seeds for a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even raise transplants and give them away to some of your friends and neighbors. So that's basically the whole existing system.
Well, and now let's get in, because your new book is out and stuff. Some of like the improvements or new parts of the book. We have about 5 minutes before the half break and the whole last half of the show.
All right. Well, let me just run through the 10 major improvements. And then we'll come back
mm-hmm.
and describe them in a little more detail.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, the original book and the original method said, lay out a 4x4 area in your garden and dig down 6 inches of your existing soil, take it out, and either in a wheelbarrow or in a tarp or some clear surface like that, mix in 6 more inches of 3 good ingredients. And mix them all up real good, and then pour that back into your hole. Now, the 6 inches were 2 inches each of peat moss, coarse vermiculite, and compost.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk more about compost later. But those are the 3 ingredients. So if you took out 6 inches, fluffed it up, and mixed in 6 more inches, you now have at least 12 inches. So you need a box to hold the extra. And that was a bottomless box around the 4 foot by 4 foot area. And now you had 50% improved existing soil.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the old system. And as I went around the country, everyone said, well, it works pretty good. But it's still, someone says, but, you know, there's something wrong here. It's a lot of work still digging up 6 inches. I said, well, you used to dig it all up anyhow. And they said, yeah, but I thought this was going to be real easy. So I got thinking, well, we've got to figure out a way so we don't dig up existing. And we'll cover that when we come back from the break.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one major improvement is we don't dig anymore. The, here's the 10 different things that we'll go in detail. Number one is we now have a new location, and it's close to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain all the advantages of that. And the reason is we only need 20% of the space, so we don't have to be where the garden used to be, way out back. Number two, we have a new direction. We build up instead of digging down. That's a huge savings in tools and energy.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, we have a new soil. We no longer use your existing soil. We use pure Mel's Mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain the ingredients for that. It's very simple. Everyone can have it anywhere in the country. Number four, we have a new depth. Believe it or not, our garden is only 6 inches deep of perfect soil. And it works. Number five is we use no fertilizer. Now, your guys with the herbs probably latched on to square foot gardening for health reasons,
mm-hmm.
because we don't need any fertilizer. We use no chemicals. We use no insecticides. We use no pesticides. None of that stuff. So you don't have to worry about it, and we control the water that we put into it. So that's a big savings there. Number six, we have new boxes. They're all above ground. So remember now, you don't have to worry about any of your ground. That wonderful soil you have, Doyle,
mm-hmm.
we don't care what you have. We're going to ignore it. We're going to build a box above the ground and fill it with Mel's Mix. Next, we have new aisles. I mentioned those before. We now have a comfortable width, at least 3 feet, preferably could even go to 4 feet. Next, we have new grids, and they're permanent and they're prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes a huge difference. Number nine, we have some new ideas, and that's don't waste the seeds. That's planting just a pinch at the right location. And number 10, we have all new opportunities for square foot gardening. Because as soon as you think of this box, it's only 6 inches deep, filled with the perfect soil, we're going to put a plywood bottom on it, drill some holes for drainage, and now we can raise that up to tabletop height. If you're in a wheelchair, you don't have to give up gardening. You just roll right up to your garden. If you're getting elderly and you have arthritis, you can't bend over, you can't kneel down, you just build these boxes, put them up higher, and you can do stand-up gardening or sit-down gardening.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the 10 major improvements, and I'll go in great detail about each one when we come back.
All righty. Well, Mel, that's an excellent start there, and that gives everybody a good outline for their notes. And after the musical break, ladies and gentlemen, be prepared to take more notes because we're going to go into detail on those 10 points. Now, today you're listening to the Hour of the Time on Christian Media Network via AM and FM affiliates, satellite link, and internet feeds. And you need to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that we are listener supported, and without your support, we can't maintain our operation. The website, hourofthetime.com. And my personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. We're going to take a 3.5-minute break here, musical break, and continue on with square foot gardening.
Is the praxis behind them, ages old. The underground current which informs the modern project and this modern era. You see, for life in our modern era is little more than life in an open-air, mind-control laboratory. To transform the mass of targeted percipients plugged into the electronic and digital pageantry of the establishment's system of things into the perfect human zombie. Disguised their true intent and their true teachings, the esoteric, with a system of exoteric descriptions. Now, to the profane would mean one thing, and to the initiate or the adept would mean quite another. But that was then. This is now.
You're already in the New World Order. You're already in the New World Order. World Order.
What sort of creature inhabits the modern domain? Who is the modern man? He is the smartest, most advanced individual to ever strut the planet, the most relatively liberated being in history. He scoffs with great division at the idea of the existence and operation of a technology of mass mind control emanating from the media and government. Modern man believes that he is much too smart to believe anything is superstitious. But the truth is, modern man, ladies and gentlemen, is the ideal hypnotic subject.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time today, Wednesday the 22nd of February 2006, and you're listening on Christian Media Network via AM and FM affiliates, satellite link, and internet feeds. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and you can thank yourself because you're learning information that you can use to improve your family, your stance, your health, your self-sufficiency, and your sanity. Get out and work in the garden. Create and grow your own vegetables, your own food. That's really a way to go. And use it as a time spent with your family to get away from the TV and get back to a family unit and type of socialization or with your church or youth groups or scouting or what have you. Now, today's special guest is Mel. And Mel Bartholomew is of Square Foot Gardening fame, engineer, gardener, author. Been on PBS a whole bunch. He's been traveled, shot, has some new stuff, and his new book has 10 major improvements, which he outlined one by one right before the musical break. Now he's going to go into detail on those 10 major improvements over the previous publications. Now his site, squarefootgardening.com, that's squarefootgardening.com, and I suggest you go there. Sign into his guest book. Thank him for being on the air. Drop him a little note. Tell him your experience. I know several of you are using his methods or are going to use it and have got his book for this year. And Mel, how are you doing today?
Doing fine, thank you.
All righty. Well, we're still getting along now. Mel, why don't we start with, if you want, just any one of the 10 major differences or improvements.
Well, for anyone that's just tuning in for the second half of the show, we're doing square foot gardening, which is totally different than regular gardening. Conventional single row gardening is really old fashioned, very wasteful, and should no longer be practiced anywhere in the world. you'll see as we go into Square Foot Gardening. It involves so much space and so much work and so many tools and so much cost that I thought there's got to be a better way to garden. And that's when I invented the Square Foot Gardening System.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote the book and ended up on PBS TV. I had my own show for a 30-minute show on PBS all across the country back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 90s, it went on the Discovery Network and the Learning Channel. And then I retired again, and then I came back to set up a nonprofit foundation in order to take Square Foot Gardening into schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled all over the country, donating schools and training teachers here, there, and everywhere. Ended up in Utah and had a big display garden here. And then we got into humanitarian work. And most of what we do now is all humanitarian work. But there have been, in those 25 years since the original book, there have been so many major improvements that I've written this past year, and it's out now, a brand new book called The All New Square Foot Gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And you can grow more in less space. Actually, you can grow twice as much in half the space. And basically, we do it in 4 foot by 4 foot areas. We build boxes above the ground. We don't even fool with your existing ground. We don't care what kind of soil you have. Just think of all the things you don't have to learn about soil. And the garden books are just filled with all this theory of what kind of soil you have and whether there are fines or coarse or it's sandy or clay and how it drains and all that stuff you no longer need to know. You can be a rank beginner and learn square foot gardening in just an hour.
Mm-hmm.
4 foot by 4 foot areas, we have boxes, shallow boxes without a bottom, bottomless boxes. And you lay those down wherever you want your garden. But now, because we take only 20% of space, we can have the garden very close to the house. That's a huge difference. First of all, you'll see it more often. That means you'll tend it more, and it'll grow better. In the past, the garden was always way out back, as far from your house and as close to your neighbor's property line as you could get. That's tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And by the summertime, when all the weeds came, everyone says, I don't want to go out there anymore. It's too much work. And then the weeds really grew. Well, now we don't have any weeds. There are no weeds in square foot gardening. Weed seeds are in all the existing soil. We create a soil that has no weed seeds in it to start with. So the new improvements, let's take the first one. The first one was a new location. We're going to, because the garden is only 20% of the space of a conventional garden, we can now locate that garden closer to the house. In fact, since we have just 4 foot by 4 foot boxes, we don't have to put them all right together. We could put a few here and a few over there and a few over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be much easier to tend if we had something like that. So you're not limited by having all of your garden exactly in one space.
And now that's got some big advantages for your culinary type herbs, because you can literally go out, pinch off a stem of rosemary or thyme or what have you, and walk right in and use it.
Yes, right. And while you're there, Doyle, pick a few flower blossoms and put them on in a vase, and you'll have fresh flowers in your... The other thing is, when it's close to your house, you see it all the time. And I like to tell people, walk through your house, and, for example, in the kitchen, look out the window and see if it wouldn't be nice to have a garden right there where you can look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The other advantage is what if some predators come to your garden and you see a dog out there digging in your nice newly planted garden? You can chase them away real quick that way if you see it. So close to the house, that's the first major improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible because square foot gardening takes like 20% of the space. The next thing, and here's the biggest advantage and the biggest improvement, it's new direction. It's up, not down. In the past, when you think of gardening, the first thing you think of is digging down into your soil. That's a lot of work, takes a lot of tools, a lot of energy, and all you're doing is disturbing the weed seeds in that soil and raising some to the top to sprout. So we don't do that anymore. We ignore your existing soil. We're going to build a box above your soil and fill it with perfect soil mix. Now, That means you don't need any tools. So if you're a beginner, don't buy all those expensive, heavy tools. You don't need them. The only tool you need for square foot gardening is a trowel, a little hand trowel.
Mm-hmm.
And we suggest you don't buy the one from Switzerland for $8.98. Buy the one from Walmart for $1.98. It'll work, and it'll work perfectly. So the new direction, up, not down. And we never dig up our existing soil anymore. And if you're going to, when you lay your box down, you have to get rid of your existing grass if you have it there, or take out any weeds. And then it's best to lay down what they call a landscape cloth or a weed cloth. And by the way, whenever we sell any of our boxes, and we have them all on our website, squarefootgardening.com, and you get them both in wood or in vinyl, we give everyone a free landscape cloth to go in the bottom of that box, as well as a grid. So, up, not down. Number three is new soil. Now, I remember everyone said it, the old method worked pretty good, digging out 6 inches and improving the soil, but it still was 50% of improved soil. So why not have 100% perfect soil? So I experimented, and I found the plants would do just well, very good in that kind of soil mix, and there's no weed seeds in that. So we're going to have a new soil. We call it Mel's Mix. Here's the formula.
Mm-hmm.
You almost don't have to write it down. It's equal parts. If you're good at math, that means 1/3 of peat moss available everywhere. Coarse vermiculite. Most nurseries carry it. You have to ask for it in the big 4-cubic-foot bags. They may have to order it for you, but that's okay. It's much cheaper that way. And 1/3 compost. Now, the compost is the best ingredient of all those. In fact, when we go overseas to third world countries, they can't afford peat moss and vermiculite, so we grow in pure compost.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to our website, squarefootgardening.com, and if you click on our global gardening page, you'll see all the places in the world that we're doing square foot gardening. We've converted it to square meter gardening, but it still is exactly the same thing.
Well, Mel, isn't it easier just to let the government hand out money?
Oh, now you're leading me in there. I got thinking, Doyle, all these pallets of food that we keep shipping overseas, what are we doing? Are we teaching a man how to fish, or are we giving him a fish?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're giving them food. And what happens when the food is gone? They're going to say, hold up their hands and say, when's the next shipment coming?
Yeah.
And pretty soon they're going to get dependent on that food. And then they're going to get a feeling that I deserve this food. They should be sending it to me all the time. What word was it we changed in our government? Oh, back, I guess, in the... let's see, what president was the Johnson era? Entitlement. That
mm-hmm.
was it.
Mm-hmm.
We are entitled to having the government take care of us. Well, I guess we all know the dangers of letting people feel they're entitled to something.
Yep.
They'll never do any. They'll never take care of themselves. They'll never go towards self-sufficiency.
Nope.
So I got thinking, Doyle, instead of all those cases of food that we send over continually, and now I'm not talking about emergency. I'm not talking about like the tsunami and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, we have to help everyone. I'm talking about the general continual subsistence and sending the food over. Why don't we send miniature gardens over? And I designed what we call our humanitarian kit. It's a 2-foot wide by 2-foot box, 2 by 2, that's 4 square feet, 6 inches deep, has a bottom, filled with Mel's Mix, shrink wrapped, has several small packets of seeds and some directions in their language, and put those on a pallet and ship that pallet overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Now suddenly we're teaching people to start gardening themselves, and it's a start. So anyhow, that's how that happened. So now we've got soil only 6 inches deep. The plants do just fine in it because it's perfect soil. Number five, here's another big one for most people. We use no fertilizer. We use no pesticides. We use no insecticides. How can you do that? The experts say you can't. Well, you can if you have a good compost. So the compost should be homemade, but if you have to buy it, go to the nursery, and they'll have all different brands and bags there, or someplace like Home Depot or Lowe's. And instead of buying, I'll take 10 bags of that right there, people always look at the 99-cent bag of steer manure,
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, I'll take 10 bags of that. That's not good compost.
No.
That's one ingredient for compost, and you need five different kinds. Keep that in mind, five. So the best thing you can do is go to your nursery or garden center and say, I'll take one bag each of this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one.
Mm-hmm.
And just point to every one. And now you have what we call a blended compost. And it's natural. It has all the nutrients in it, has no weed seeds, and that's the perfect soil mix. So, no fertilizer. That's number five. Number six, we have new boxes above the ground. And all we're going to do is build a bottomless box, place it above the ground. You can put it on a patio. You can put it near the swimming pool if you're lucky enough to have one. You can put it near the garage or the front door or the back door, anywhere around the house where you can see it and get to it and tend it and have a nice, pretty garden there. But the boxes, we start with 4 foot by 4 foot because that's the biggest size that you can walk around and reach in. But as you mentioned before, Doyle, you can have 2 foot by 4 foot or 2 foot by 3 foot,
mm-hmm.
as long as the multiple of some square feet. And then we're going to put the grid on, which is another one of our major improvements. So those are the new boxes. The boxes can be built out of wood, vinyl plastic, some of the artificial wood that they have now, the man-made wood. That can be, and people will say, well, wood's expensive. You can go get redwood, which is very expensive, but it'll last a long time. The kind of wood we like to use is free wood.
Mm-hmm.
Free wood, and you go to any construction site. And you ask the foreman, tell him, I'm building a square foot garden, I need some scrap wood, do you have any? He'll say, what size do you want and how many? They have just tons of wood they throw away.
Mm-hmm.
And it all gets put in the dumpster. And he'll say, go help yourself, or if you smile and tell him about your square foot garden, he'll say, how long do you want it? I'll cut it for you. And you're looking for 1x6 lumber or 2x6 lumber. Or if they have 2x8s, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
So those are our new boxes. Next are new aisles. Remember the original book on the cover showed a 1 foot wide aisle, and that got a little tippy trying to walk through it. So now we have 3 foot or 4 foot aisles. They're more comfortable. Number eight are new grids. We started originally in the old book, which is 25 years old, by the way. It still outsold every other garden book every year. That original book, without any changes, sold over 1 million copies in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And every year it still outsold every other garden book that came out. But now with the all new, it's got all these new improvements in it. But the old book started with string or cord or something like that. But I found out it doesn't work. It's dirty, it snags, it sags, it breaks, it rots. So now we use a rigid, prominent, permanent grid. And the best way is to go to a lumber store and get lath, wood lath. They cost 20 cents a piece. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
You need six of them. That's $1.20. And now you have a permanent grid that'll last forever. And you can even pass that in your will down to your children. They should be gardening too. By the way, the old-fashioned, I love to say this, the old-fashioned person that has single-row garden, the man was always so proud of his garden. And sometimes they'd come to our display gardens, Doyle, and he'd say, oh, I feed all my children. They're all married, and my grandchildren, I feed all the families. And I say, you ought to be teaching them how to garden, not you at your age and all the work it takes to keep up gardening just so you can feed your children and your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them how to garden.
Mm-hmm.
So number eight is the new grids. Number nine are some new ideas, and that's, we talked before about planting seeds. Don't plant a whole packet of seeds. Plant a pinch of seeds at the proper spacing. Shows you in the book exactly how to do it. Very simple. And then put your seeds away in proper storage, and they'll be good next year and the year after, and you no longer have to buy seeds every year. Number 10 is the one I'm most proud of, new opportunities. Picture this box, like 6 inches deep, filled with a perfect soil mix, has a grid on it divided into 16 square feet. You plant a different crop in every square foot. You mix vegetables and flowers and herbs. And now we're going to put a plywood bottom on it. Drill some holes, one per square foot, an extra one in each corner. Doesn't matter what size the hole is. and the water will find its way out if it gets too much water. And now we're going to be able to raise that up to tabletop height. And you can now locate these around your, do some landscape gardening by locating these around your yard. Put them right near your back door. Put them on top of the picnic table. Use them for the people that have arthritis or can't bend over, for the elderly, people that are in crutches. We have them in nursing homes where people are in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
We even have one, believe it or not, in a VA hospital on a gurney. It measured 3 foot by 6 feet, so it doesn't have to be 4 by 4. And it's 6 inches deep, built on top of a gurney, filled with Mel's Mix, and it's wheeled from the rooftop down in through the elevator and right into a patient's room. Can you imagine that?
Well, that's
here's somebody that's confined to bed forever, and they can now garden right from their bed.
Well, that's an excellent idea because it's proven that the gardening and touching the earth and the growing things are very therapeutic.
Yes, just to smell those herbs and to touch them or to pick one of the flowers or something. It's great. Square foot gardening can be done anywhere, not only in this country, anywhere in the world. And if any of your viewers are interested in humanitarian work, starting at home or going overseas, we're now starting to train people and send them to other countries with other locations so they can help other people learn how to become self-sufficient. We have people in Africa and India. We're going to the Philippines. We have a training center we're developing in Hawaii, of all places, at BYU,
mm-hmm.
Brigham Young University. And we just got so many things going on now. There's opportunities if people want to help out to do all kinds of things. So I encourage all your viewers and listeners to go to our website, squareforgardening.com, go through any of the pages. There's, of course, the home page, and it shows all the different ways and things you can grow. There's no limit to square foot gardening. By the way, the vine crops, everyone wants to know about tomatoes. We grow those vertically and have a special tomato tower, we call it, and it's has nylon netting, which is unbreakable, and all the vine crops, including melons and even pumpkins. A couple years ago, we had 35-pound pumpkins growing 7 feet up in the air. And the netting is so strong it holds them. And it was quite a sight. You ought to see a kid's eyes bug out when he saw those pumpkins 7 feet in the air. It was really exciting. But you can grow anything. And you can grow large crops. You can grow small crops. If you want a business, my second book was Cash from Square Foot Gardening. And it told how you can have a home business earning several thousand dollars a year with your hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Developed a whole new market for it. So this method works for just a small garden, a patio, a rooftop. You can be in a condominium and still have a garden. You can have acres and acres and still have gardens and have very little care. And this year we're coming out with a drip irrigation system, and we have a couple of other new products. So just go to our catalog page to look at those. And I just want everyone to know how easy it is. And the new book is all full color, and it takes you step by step. It's got a lot of step by step photographs in it, and a lot of hints and all kinds of things. And we're getting good response from the new book. And it does tell you the easiest, simplest way.
Well, Mel, I think it would be nice to point out that, you know, you talked about the circulation of book and the years it's been out and how effective it is, which it is, ladies and gentlemen. I first got my first taste in the early 90s of square foot gardening in a survival book where the guy said, I can't tell you how to garden better than this. And he gave some diagrams, and then that was it in reference to square foot gardening book because it is so efficient. And as far as its popularity and usage, I think that the recent surveys, Mel, speak highly of that. How were you rated, like by Barnes and Noble and Amazon?
Well, we're number one book in all the surveys,
mm-hmm.
and of course, being a new book, it's getting a lot of publicity. And my publisher has me going out on tours. I just got back from Atlanta, and next week I go to Philadelphia for the flower show there. But I'll be in Chicago and in Boston and in New York City. And hopefully I'll be in Arizona in August. And my staff is pretty excited about going there for your workshop, Doyle.
Mm-hmm. And
if anyone lives near the Salt Lake City area, we have lots of classes here. We also train teachers to become certified square foot gardening teachers. We have a lot of things happening at different schools, and I haven't touched on that too much, but when I came to Utah, we ended up donating a garden to every single school in the state of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the state said, well, how are we going to teach the teachers? Would you write a lesson plan? So I took 6 months out of my life, and I wrote a lesson plan, and now we've converted that into home schooling. So if you're a public-private school teacher or a home school teacher, this book takes you right through the whole system of how, and that's on our website on the catalog page, how to teach children. But I can think of nothing better than to have the kids have their own garden out in the backyard. In the past, if you're anywhere near my age, you grew up hoeing weeds. That's all we got to do, pulling weeds and digging. And it was no fun, believe me. And we didn't have a good opinion of gardening. But today, with square foot gardening, the kids can have their own 3x3. It's a good size for kids. And they can have a little competition with each other, and it teaches self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can do anything with this food. You can store it if you want, or can it, or preserve it, freeze it, or you can just eat it fresh every day. It's a wonderful family project.
Well, Mel, I'd like to bring up that the trained staff from the Square Foot Gardening is going to be at our conference, and a lot of these materials are going to be available for the attendees there, as well as your PowerPoint presentations and video, and the trained staff of this institute right there to answer the questions, and not only just classroom work and theory, let's call it, but also outside and doing it. And then we're donating those gardens so when they're done. So that is a really neat deal for everybody. And you're going to get to interact and ask those questions, et cetera. But you should really start now for yourselves. It's the right time of the year to get started now. Start building your boxes. Start looking for scrap lumber. Just because it's February doesn't mean you can't get started.
That's true.
And start doing it now. Go to the website, squarefootgardening.com. Check out the book. The new book is phenomenal. The color, the charts, the updated techniques, etc. It's a wonderful deal, and I highly suggest, again, at squarefootgardening.com. Now, Mel, we're going to have to wrap her up here. We're at the top of the hour, so I want to thank you.
Have we talked for a whole hour?
Yeah, it always goes easy. So I want to thank you again for being on the Hour of the Time today on Christian Media Network, and again, your website, squarefootgardening.com, and I would ask people to go visit and browse around, get some tips, drop a note to them, and see what you think about the methods, and I'd highly suggest you invest in a book. And Mel, again, thanks for being on today.
Okay. I do want to mention just one quick thing. When you buy the book from our foundation, all of the proceeds goes towards our humanitarian work.
Mm-hmm.
And most places that sell books, of course, are in business to make money and pay all the, everything, but we put all of our proceeds from selling our products into our humanitarian projects. So it's kind of a nice feeling when you get your book that you helped us do something in the humanitarian field.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Mel.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Alrighty, and we'll be talking to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time today, the 22nd of February, Wednesday, 2006. Be sure to tune in every day, and tomorrow I'm going to give you the full class schedule and the conference and all that is included with your package price as far as materials, benefits, etc.